You know, throughout this and many times today, elders, search committee members, many people have asked the question, so Neil, how are you doing? How are you feeling? What are you thinking? And you know, I actually have that same question for you. How are you doing? And I want you to know there's truly a part of me that wishes I could sit down with every person here and really understand what's going on in your heart, how this impacts you. When we first announced this to the staff a while back, I just individually met with every staff member. It's fascinating. So how are you doing, Neil? How are you doing? Well, to answer that question, I wore a special pair of shoes today, okay? And Jeremy's going to zoom in on these shoes. These are Red Wing work boots. How many people here have some Red Wing boots? Raise your hand high for the people who are really smart here, okay? I got to tell you, these boots are 34 years old. I bought these when I was at seminary, at Dallas Theological Seminary. I was doing some carpentry work at the time to help feed my family when I was at seminary. But also, you know, I wanted to do some carpentry work. Figure I'd add that to my education to be more like Jesus, right? Y'all, I think I paid $100 for these boots. That's 34 years ago. I'm in seminary. It felt like a fortune. And I still use these boots today. I built a deck on our house the last 7 months, and I wore these boots. And I want you to know, I never imagined 34 years ago when I first laced up these boots, I never imagined the journey that God would allow me to walk with him and with you these last 30 years on staff here and these last 25 years of being senior pastor. I'm telling you, what an adventure. And I can't imagine, I don't want to imagine a different life. I have been blown away by the grace of God. I'll tell you this also. I didn't expect 34 years ago, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, I didn't expect for tomorrow to come so soon. And I didn't expect that this day would be a day of unexpected joy. How is Neil Tomba doing? Y'all, I feel like for the past year, our good, good Father has been inviting me into the unexpected joy of desperate dependence on Jesus in new and greater and deeper ways. Is that clear? And to help us all think about how we are doing and how we are going to be doing to January 1st, I like what Tim said, we come here to feast on the Word of God. I want you to turn with me today to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, if you need to use the Pew Bible, it's on page 875. And here's what we're going to do. Y'all, I do not want anyone to say August 30th, I didn't realize what was going on, okay? We're going to take the next 2 weeks to prepare for August 30th. And you know, next week, I'm going to talk more about what are we thinking about this man named Tim Robinson that we are bringing to you. But today, church, I want us to think about us and Neil, okay? I want us to think about us, and we would prepare ourselves that we're not just thinking about what this guy's gonna bring us, okay? Now, I told you on January 18th that God used actually this passage in Acts chapter 20. Not this summer, but last summer, to confirm to me the timing of this decision, to really help me see the joy of the last 25 years, and to challenge me to make sure I shepherd this body well through this time of transition from one senior pastor to another. So I want to give you the context of Acts chapter 20 and the verses we're going to look at. Paul invited the leaders, the elders of the church at Ephesus to come to a little conference in another city. It's as if Paul said, we're going to have a church leaders conference because I've got some things to say to you. And in a sense, he's talking to the stakeholders of the church. And so today, I want to speak to you as stakeholders in the future of Northwest Bible Church, okay? Now, I'm not diminishing anybody here, but you heard John say that if you're a member, you actually get to be a part of affirming this decision for Tim Robinson to be our next senior pastor. And I want you right now, that this time together, I want you to be thinking as stakeholders in the future of Northwest Bible Church. So I'm gonna read starting in verse 22, and I'm gonna ask us to stand, church, together for the reading of the Word of God. And I want to remind us again, church, when we say God's truth over our opinion, we're saying something about what we believe about this Word, and that we believe today, y'all, we're not just getting Neil's words. We are here to hear the divine Word of God. Amen? That, you know, I hear people talk, had a conversation with somebody about holy books in the last 2 weeks. We are saying this word is above every other word. Your favorite podcaster, I'm sorry, your favorite self-help guru, and any other religious book, okay? So, Luke, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records Paul's words at this church leaders conference, where Paul said in verse 22, now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that in prison and afflictions await me. Now I got to make a comment here. I hope that's not true of me. But here's what I hope is true of all of us in our unique ways as stakeholders in the ministry of the gospel here at Northwest Bible Church, and what I believe can fuel our joy over the next couple weeks and beyond. Paul says in verse 24, but I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you to this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And so right now, again, Father in heaven, we pray that by the work of your Holy Spirit, we would receive your word today, that your word would make a difference, not just in our individual lives here, but our corporate life, that our minds would be filled with great thoughts from you, and our will would be molded and shaped and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live out your word. And we pray in the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated, church. Now, again, I want to be clear. When I read this whole address, multiple times Paul asserts with a sense of joy that he is finishing faithfully. Verse 26, these are strong words when Paul says, I testify before a court of law kind of idea to you this day that I'm the innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you not just my opinion on every issue in current culture, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So today, church, we're thinking about how we are living today in light of a tomorrow that's coming. August 30th, January 1st, new senior pastor, Lord willing. And here's what I want for us, church. I want us to be able to enter in fully to the joy of not only what God has done the last 25 years, but what God is doing right now and what God will do in the future. And I'm gonna just give us four words this morning that I feel like gets at the heart of summarizing what is driving Paul's joy in this faithful finish that he has before he goes to a next phase of ministry, okay? Four words this morning. And here's my first word for us as stakeholders of this church. Precious. And my Lord of the Rings fans are laughing because you know I'm talking about Gollum. I'll tell y'all, I gave a form of this message to Dallas Theological Seminary several months ago. And at that time, I was rereading The Lord of the Rings, okay? And you know there's this little creature, Gollum, that has a ring that he calls his precious. But I actually use the word because it's in the text here. Verse 24, Paul says, I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself in a world, church, that keeps telling us that happiness and joy comes when I'm taking care of myself, when I am consuming for myself, where I'm making sure I get to tell everybody and their brother my opinion on every issue, where I'm getting to impose my will on every situation. Paul says, I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself. For the Apostle Paul, there is no doubt that the kingdom work of the church and the work of the gospel, and I'm gonna say it this way, the work of following Jesus on the earth today was not Paul's pathway to self-fulfillment. That's why he said things. I'm just gonna quote some phrases from some other places. So you see how clear this is. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, and beatings. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, Paul says, I am glad. Folks, what Paul is describing is not your best life now. following Jesus. Christian ministry, being a pastor, was not Paul's pathway to self-fulfillment. And I remember sitting at one point again, just taking stock. What is precious to me? And I really want to ask you, church, because this is about our preparation. This is not just about, does this guy preach good? Does he agree with me on all the issues of the day? I'm asking every one of you, what is precious to you? Give you a little confession from a senior pastor, okay? So I think I'm about 2 years into being senior pastor here, living the dream. Graduated from seminary, served here as singles pastor, and now I'm preaching every Sunday on the big stage. And it's a Sunday afternoon, and I'm depressed after church, and I'm there on the couch, and these exact words came to my mind. I'm never gonna be like Tommy Nelson. Some of you are laughing, which is, you understand this. How many of y'all know the name Tommy Nelson? Okay, a lot of you know. Tommy was the guy who was the preacher that a lot of my era guys, we wanted to be the next Tommy Nelson. And I personally knew Tommy Nelson when I went to seminary, visited. He invited us to come there and have a role in their outreach department. And we decided it was just too far. We had three little kids, but he was an important person in my Christian life and ministry. And here's what was exposed that day. Here's your precious, Neil. You're depressed because you have a person and you have an image and you have a respect and you have all these things that you value greatly. And I'm going to press this on this because our heart is really tricky, because sometimes some of you are thinking right now, oh, I don't think that's an issue for me. Several years later, I was at Dallas Theological Seminary speaking, and I told this story. I'll never be like Tommy Nelson. And a friend of mine later came to me because he was in the class, and he said, Neil, a bunch of the guys in the class were angry after you spoke. And I'm like, why? What did I say? You said you'll never be like Tommy Nelson. And what they heard was this, and maybe they won't be either. Because they had their own precious, right? And here's what we know, church. If it's my child or my job, or what you think about me, or any other good gift from God, that will rob your joy. And so just maybe the moment, the point of your unhappiness today, just maybe it might reveal what is precious to you. The moment of your discontentment. And y'all, you know, one of the good things about being at a place for 30 years is there's a whole lot of you who've seen me unhappy, discontent, crying like a baby over any number of things. And so I say this with you, the point of your discontentment today. Whatever it is going on in your world outside of here may be revealing what is precious to you. I believe this is why Paul had to say in verse 28, when he says, first, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. You know, sometimes that word in some versions is pay careful attention is translated beware. Neil, beware. Stakeholders, beware. Because every message in this current culture is to make yourself your precious, to make your church your self-fulfillment, to make your job, how someone treats you, your expectations, how someone gives you feedback, whatever it is. And Paul says, I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself. Just sounds like a guy who took very seriously Jesus' words, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and die, it cannot bear fruit. You know, I have some friends that we would just tell each other, okay, our job today as ministers of the gospel is to show up and die. You know, how I finish will be determined by what I hold precious. How we finish, I'll say, this phase of ministry till January 1st is determined by what we hold precious. So I want to use that as my second word. I want to use the word finish, okay? And I want to talk about when Paul says in verse 24, I do not count my life of any value as precious to myself, if only I may finish what? My course and the ministry Jesus gave me. And it's interesting because Paul uses the words of being in a race. He uses the words that are about a person who had to put on some shoes and lace them up and run in a race. And here's Paul's thinking. I want to run through that finish line. This is not for Paul about preserving something he's getting some self-fulfillment from. Paul's not thinking I have a life, obviously, from the things we read earlier, to be preserved, or even a position to be preserved. That is not the mindset of those who win races, that I may finish the race. You know, it's a beautiful thought. For me, y'all, it is a joyful thought to think about this, a relay race, where I get to be with you as we hand off this baton. Y'all, we've talked about this before, that the Christian life is a marathon, right? It's a long obedience in the same direction. And you know why some of us don't experience joy is because we've never taken that seriously. We've continued. We proclaim the name of Jesus, and then we say, but in this little area of my life, I'm going to just do whatever I want to do. This thing over here just doesn't feel right to me, what the Bible says, and everybody tells me it's okay. The Christian life is a marathon. It is a long obedience by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, in the same direction. It's why the psalmist says, I run in the path of your commands, for in them I find joy. Joy in obedience. The Christian life is a marathon, but what Paul here strikes me with is this. The Christian life is a marathon, but Christian leadership is a relay race where one day, doesn't matter what you're doing, you will hand off the baton. Church, that's what we're doing here at this time. And Veal and I have spent 30 years of our life here. And I am so thankful today that I get to be with you as we get closer and closer to handing off the baton. And let me tell you why this is so important. I want to be really clear. When Paul says to finish the course of the ministry that God has given me, what was that? For the Apostle Paul, it was this. It was the planting of churches as he saw people coming to know Jesus, the planting of churches and the building up of those churches. You got it? This thing called church is really, really clear. It's why Paul said to those leaders in verse 28, you care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own what, church? Blood. The church is the blood-bought body of believers. Can you say that with me? The church is the blood-bought body of believers, as we've said before here. Jesus did not just die for you as an individual, and I gotta keep saying it to us in this radically individualistic culture where you're coming to church, where Neil's coming to church, always thinking, are they gonna play my favorite song? Are they gonna do this? Are they gonna have that program? Why did this program end? You name it. The church is the blood-bought body of believers, the living expression of the glory of our Savior on the earth today. And please don't say, I know it's popular, and I understand there's reasons people say it, but Northwest Bible Church, you don't say, I love Jesus, but I'm not that interested in the church. Jesus loves his church. Jesus takes joy in his church. You want to be a part of the joy of Jesus. Be a part of his church. Now, I know that most of you here are smart enough to know, and many of you here know me personally well enough to know that I'm not saying this is easy. I carry the scars of becoming pastor of this church when we were deeply, deeply hurting over a church split and hurting each other. The year I became senior pastor, it was our 50th anniversary. There was so much pain, and I'm going to use the word embarrassment, that we actually didn't even acknowledge it. But y'all, just if you want to just enter into the joy of what God has done, you just go out those doors and you look at the timeline on the windows out there. As this spring, we celebrated 75 years of the faithfulness of God to this blood-bought body of believers. Amen. And you know, church, I want you to hear, I can hold together that pain and those scars and the joy of watching God do a work, not just in you, but in me. Y'all, there's a place in Job. I'm getting off my notes here. Is that okay? There's a place in Job that says this. God healed me through my afflictions. God healed me through my afflictions. That God was using all of that as part of the healing and refining process in my life. Okay. For finishing well to be a reality for Paul, I want to add this. It had to come from a clear sense of call. That's my third word. precious finish call. Here's why I say that again, straight from verse 24, when Paul says, I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry, look what he says, that I received from the Lord Jesus. Paul's ministry was not something he simply chose. He went to a job posting. It wasn't something that was simply about his self-fulfillment. He says, I received it from Jesus. And I want you to look at verse 22 carefully as we try to talk a little bit about this sense of call that's sometimes hard to say, how does this come about? But Paul said in verse 22, he says, now I have a new call and I have to go to Jerusalem because I am constrained by the Holy Spirit. I am bound. I am obligated. Stakeholders, members, leaders, followers of Jesus, I do want to ask us this morning. Does God have a right to have a word that strong in your life? I am constrained by the living presence of God in me. That I am constrained and I don't just say, well, this is my opinion on this matter. That I am constrained and I don't just say, but I'm going to go live this way and everything else, I'll do what God says. Am I constrained in the words that I use when things aren't going my way? Am I constrained by the living presence of God in me and in us during this time? You know, there's something deeply precious about a sense of call. I told you the story of a few months ago, how God called me to be senior pastor at Northwest Bible Church. But I also told you the story of how I almost missed it and God had to use Vila and God had to use my mentor, Rick Lehman, to make sure I didn't jump ship too soon. But I want you to know that has been something that I've held on to in many hard times. You know, I can't tell y'all how many times I thought we need somebody smarter and wiser to be senior pastor at Northwest Bible Church. Don't say amen. How many times I got up here and thought, what am I doing? And really thought, God, you got to do somebody else here. And you know, out of a sense of call, every time I felt like God just said to me, Neil, I can take you out anytime. You just show up tomorrow and die. Something deeply precious about a sense of call. And I want to bring Brad Harrison up here because I want you to get a sense of what God did in our search team to give them the sense of call to bring before us Tim Robinson. Thanks, Brad.
So when I became part of the search committee and we formed this group of eight, there were many people that came up to us and said, boy, we do not envy you in that role because it's perceived to be something that people kind of, you know, don't really want to be a part of. But I will tell you, it was one of the greatest blessings of my life to go through this process. And we had an amazing group of eight people that love this church, want the very best for it, people that are connected to a lot of different people and ministries and demographics and other parts of our church. And we just had a great chemistry, a great bond together as we got into this. And we truly felt called to be part of this. And Neil, I'll admit, it was not easy. It was a lot harder than we thought it would be. It took more time and effort and prayer. And, you know, there was a lot of emotion that came out in some of our meetings as we felt the true weight of what we were being asked to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, we're replacing a 25-year pastor, this 25-year pastor who's preaching like he is today. I mean, that's pretty daunting. And the next guy might be the next 25-year pastor. So that's a lot. That's a lot that was, we felt that day in, day out. Mm. So then, and by the way, I should say, Neil never put any of that pressure on us. As you heard him say this morning, he was constantly reminding us, take your time, rely on the Lord. I'll be here as long as you need. So that was a real blessing. And we had a lot of prayer from all of you. I want to thank you. So many of you have been praying constantly, and you've been coming up and asking us how you can pray for us. And that's also been a true blessing. So then July 7th happened. So July 7th was a really important meeting for our committee. We had had a lot more meetings, some in person with candidates. We had more input from other people that we had kind of brought into it. And so we had this meeting, and we sat there, and one by one, we went around, and every person talked about kind of where they were. They came to terms with where the Lord was leading them. And in the midst of that, it was really unbelievable. The Lord brought us to this incredible place of unity and clarity and affirmation that Tim was the guy. And we just sat there for a few minutes in awe, just looking at each other, taking it in. And then we immediately started praying. And we were just praising the Lord, each of us, and crying. Quite honestly, we were all crying. But they were tears of joy, because there were many times when we didn't think we were going to get to a point of unity on a particular candidate. But the Lord got us to that point, and he did it in an amazing way. And so we felt called to bring Tim forward as the candidate, first to the elders to get affirmation there, and now to you. And we are so blessed to be able to do that. And we just give all the glory to God. Mm.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, brother. You know, church, I just want to add one thing to what Brad said about this whole thing of Neil saying he was going to be here. I want to be clear. This, so that you understand, this time of saying now's the time for us to begin to look for a new senior pastor wasn't first about what I'm going to do next outside of Northwest. It was about a call from God to create a runway that whether this took 1 year or 3 years, I would be all here. And it's why I told the elders, I won't be doing the next thing until that person is officially the next senior pastor. I got one more word here, y'all, because it is foundational to all of us. Precious finish, call, grace. Paul says, what I was given from the Lord Jesus was to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Amen, church. We are here because of the grace of God. I think it's interesting that Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he's writing the history of the early church in the book of Acts, deemed it necessary to three times include Paul's testimony. This morning, just as I was praying and thinking, this thought came to my mind that I hadn't thought about before. Why does Luke include it three times? I think it's because of this. Luke probably heard Paul give his testimony about the grace of God operating in his life day in and day out, multiple times a day. That it was the thing Paul never got over. That it was the thing that affected how Paul approached every person in every circumstance. Does the grace of God affect us as we approach every person in every circumstance, and how we will approach thinking about Tim, how we will approach if Tim is installed as our new senior pastor, how we will approach him? You know, yo, I just had some fun with this. I can imagine that if we were interviewing the Apostle Paul for our next senior pastor, y'all would say, well, he doesn't preach as good as Neil. No, I'm kidding. But I can imagine Paul going to Katie in our human resources department, sitting down, and Katie saying to him, Paul, I did a background check on you, and we got some problems here. It looks like you might have done some jail time here for murder. And I can hear Paul saying, because he wrote it in 1 Corinthians 15, you're right. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm unworthy to be called an apostle because I did persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And Paul never got over the unexpected joy of the gospel of grace that had changed him. I am what I am by the grace of God. Church, can we just say we are what we are by the grace of God? Let's just say that together. We are what we are by the grace of God. It's not because we gave a ton of money to missions this year. It's not because we've been keeping to the word of God. It's not because we've done a lot of good things in this city. It's not because we have 1,000 people in small groups. We are what we are by the grace of God. And what Tim or anybody else comes and receives, if they're the senior pastor, is the grace of God working here. You know, we know what Paul's next words to our HR person would have been. It continues in 1 Corinthians 15. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Yeah. And we're going to show up, church. And we're going to continue to do the things God has called us to do because the grace of God is not proving vain here. So I'll close with this. I've told you all this story before. When I was in seminary, working at the Center for Christian Leadership with Dr. Bill here and Prof. Hendricks, Prof. Hendricks loved to say, if you see a turtle on a fence post, how did he get there? Somebody put him there. Y'all are geniuses, okay? By the grace of God. And my story has been this. I shared this when we went through the book of Judges a couple years ago. And if a turtle was on a fence post for 25 years, good gosh almighty, how would a turtle stay on a fence post for 25 years? Somebody by grace would have to hold him, have to feed him, because he's always saying, I'm hungry. I turned to Vila during worship and said, Vila, I'm really hungry right now. She starts thinking, well, I think they got some food up in the conference room. And when he was whining in all his many points of unhappiness and discontentment, somebody had to pet him and say, it's going to be okay, little baby. The grace of God. You know, I think Paul, if I just tried to summarize his message to those leaders and stakeholders that day, I think he would just say something like this. Now you faithfully finish your precious call by the grace of God. You faithfully finish your precious call by the grace of God. So this week, y'all, I know you're going to be looking at videos of Tim and watching sermons. Go get it. But let's not forget about us, okay? And here's what I want you to do. Every morning this week, when you get up and put your shoes on, some of you are going to put sandals on, it works, and you're lacing up your shoes, I got a prayer that I want us to pray for ourselves, okay? As we think about tomorrow, right? As we think about August 30th, as we think about January 1st, I want us to pray this, and I'm going to put it on the screen so you can see it. Lord, may I faithfully finish your call by the grace of God, whatever God has for you here, whether it's just showing up, praying, walking with Jesus, being obedient, that you and I, when we lace up our shoes, think about it right now. Seriously, church, think about this. This is our joy. We're talking about fighting for joy here, going after the goodness of God. Lord, may I faithfully finish your call by the grace of God. Got it? Okay, so let's stand together. Y'all, don't leave yet if you don't have to leave. Let's just enter into the joy of the Lord together by just this moment of thanks, of singing about the goodness of God to us. Okay, church?